forefathers of this country set aside a day to give special thanks to the Lord for the blessings that he's bestowed upon them. Thanksgiving is for that purpose. Our thanks need to be to the Lord because of all that he has done for us. 92nd Psalm verse 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." We should give thanks to the Lord for our Savior, for his devotion to the Father. Luke 22 and verse number 42. The Bible says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We need to thank God. We need to thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he was determined not to serve himself or yield to his desires and his need, but to be concerned with the needs of others in submitting to and doing the will of the Father. It was the Father's will that he be the sacrifice, that he pay the price for our sins. And we need to thank God for his devotion to the Father and being faithful to him. We need to be thankful for his finished work. John 19 and verse number 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Jesus had received the vinegar. He said, "It is finished." We need to be thankful for the finished work that he did. What was the work that he did? He did everything necessary to save every human being that would ever live or exist in this world. He did everything completely finished. He fulfilled the law. He became the sacrifice, the payment for man's sins. He took our sin upon him. And he had no sin. And you think about it, a sinless individual having to accept the perversion and the stinking garbage that man deals in, to accept it and accept the responsibility for that. Listen, I'm sure that it repulsed him to no end. And we ought to be thankful for the work that Jesus did, for completing that work and not letting anything interfere or keep him from it. Why was that? We need to be thankful that his love is what motivated him, his love for you and for me. And you know what? He had love for the Father, for the Holy Spirit, but not, he didn't just have love for himself. Man just has love for himself, and that's what he thinks about, is self, first and foremost. Our nature is to think of self the first and foremost. But he denied himself, and he did the work, and he had the power to save every soul that would ever come to him. Look at John 6. And verse number 37, John 6 and verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now think about it. We need to be thankful that no matter how wretched our old nature is, how wretched we become sometimes, that when we're his, we'll never cease to be his. And the eternal life that he gave us is truly eternal. It's not just life until you sin, but it is truly eternal life. Why? "The Father giveth me all, me or all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What's he talking about? The Father draws, and Jesus then accepts and receives when the sinner yields to that drawing power. We need to be thankful for his saving power. Not only his power to save, but his power to keep. I thank God that it doesn't depend on me to keep me saved. I thank God that it doesn't depend on some man to keep me saved. I thank God that it didn't depend on anything in creation, because creation is minimal compared to God, who created all things and sustains all things. I thank God for that saving power, not only to save initially, but to keep us saved eternally. We should give thanks for the Holy Spirit, for his convicting power. John 16, verse 8 through 11. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We need to be thankful for the Holy Spirit's convicting power. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness. Did you know we were a part of that world when he convicted us? We were a part of that world when he drew us. He didn't have to. We didn't deserve him doing that. We were all undeserving of it, but thank God that the Holy Spirit's convicting power came upon us, and we were able to yield to it, those that are saved. And we need to thank him for his leadership. Romans 8 and verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be thankful for his leadership. Because listen, it's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us from sinking deep into sin to where we can't find our way out. It's that power, and thank God that he has that power to lead those that are his, that he leads and he draws. We need to thank him for his producing fruit in us. Look at Galatians 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We were in the flesh. We couldn't bear that fruit. But thank God, through him we can bear that fruit. Thank God, through him we can truly love. And listen, the love it's talking about is a love that denies self and cares wholly and solely for the one which love is bestowed upon. Again, Jesus denied himself. He was rich in heaven. He was there being adored by the angels and by those that have gone on before in heaven. He was there in the presence of the Father, enjoying the love that the two have with each other. And he was willing to give all of that up to come down here and be treated like the most wretched individual in the world. We need to be thankful for the fruit that he placed in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruits of the Spirit, there's no condemnation. But the fruits of the flesh is where one receives condemnation. There's no penalty on the fruits of the Spirit. And thank God that he's given us the fruits of the Spirit, that we would be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord and the things that he brings forth in our life, for that we can overcome that old nature that we have. We should give thanks to God for the Bible, for its inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need to thank God for his word. We need to thank God that the Spirit gives us understanding of that word. We need to thank God for the privilege of being a member of New Testament church, where the Spirit can give us understanding and we can understand the deep truths of the word of God. I'll tell you what, more and more that I get involved and deal with those that are supposed to be God's people, the lack of knowledge of the scripture is astounding to me. Things that are just simple to you and I are foreign to them. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. We need to be thankful for the inspiration of the scriptures. We need to be thankful for the power of the scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We need to be thankful for the power of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as it pierces asunder, as it pierces our heart and breaks up the fallow ground, that we might be able to bring forth and produce righteousness, for without it we would not be able to. You know, Paul, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, he brings it out clearly. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What is he talking about? When he come to the age of accountability, where he understood. And what brought that to him? The commandment, the word of God, is what brought it to him. We need to be thankful that power that the word of God has, when it sinks into the heart of man, piercing asunder, that it gives him a knowledge and understanding of the condition that he's in, and that it causes one to desire to turn to God and to righteousness through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to thank God for the message of the Word of God. And the message in the heart of the entire Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved you and me when we were not lovable. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And he brought us back to life. And he brought us back to life by the message of the Word of God. As the Spirit gave us understanding and we realized the lost, condemned condition that we were in, it brought us to a place to where we were willing to acknowledge our condition and had a desire to come out of that condition by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful for the message of the Word of God. We should give thanks for salvation, for the forgiveness of sin. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 8. Jeremiah 33 verse 8, "And I will cleanse them from all iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." We've all been guilty. We're all in this condition. And thank God that he was willing to cleanse us and to pardon us of all of our iniquities, remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. In other words, remove them infinity all the way never for them to come, be brought back up ever again. That's confess sin. If you don't confess it, it won't do you any good. And by the way, we need to thank him for the cleansing that he can bring from sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But wait a minute. Well, I'm sorry, Lord, that I sinned against you. I'm sorry that I committed adultery. I'm sorry that I lied. I'm sorry that I stole. I'm sorry that I didn't keep my word. Is that what we're talking about? Definitely not. We're talking about repenting of that sin and then confessing. Taking for granted. This verse of scripture takes for granted that repentance has already come. And so if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness based upon repentance. The Bible's clear. I believe Luke, the 17th chapter, the Bible talks about forgiving your brother if he repents. Jesus is not going to forgive, he's not going to cleanse unless there's repentance involved. I know the world today, so-called Christianity, they don't want to hear that. They want the easy way. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, you just lied, because you'll do it again unless you've truly repented. We need to thank God for the assurance of salvation. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Are you persuaded? Are you convinced? You know what that's called? It's called faith. Now, we had faith to the saving of our soul. Now we need to have faith that he can keep us. We need to have faith that he can take us out of this place and deliver us in our entirety from the effects and the results of sin. We need to thank God for the assurance of that salvation that he's given us. We should give thanks for his church. We need to give thanks for the mission of the church. And thanks for the commission that he gave her. He said, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Of course, that's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen." We need to be thankful purchased the church, or Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. We need to be thankful that he laid down his life for the church. We need to be thankful for the mission that he gave the church, because had it not been for the church carrying out that commission, we would not hear the gospel. We would not have been saved. We would have been without excuse, because nature declares the glory of God and firmament shows his handiwork, and there's no speech where it's not understood. But we have to have the word of God in order for one to be saved. We're born of the word. And thank God that the church carried out her mission, and we still have truth today that we can bring us to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful for the church's position. Matthew, the 18th chapter, or the 16th chapter, rather, and verse number 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to be thankful for the position of the church. Where is the church? We have a whole worldwide religion that says it's on Peter, on a man. Thank God it's not on a man. Thank God that it's on Jesus Christ, that foundation rock, that rock that follows them in the wilderness, that rock like the rock of Gibraltar, that unmovable rock. Peter is a little pebble, a little stone that could be moved, but Jesus Christ is a rock that cannot be moved. And so therefore, the position of the church being on him, we have a sure and steadfast foundation which will never fail. We need to thank God for his eternal glory. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We need to be thankful for his eternal glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. We need to thank God that we can give him glory in the church. We need to thank God that he brought us into the church and give us a position to where we can give him glory. Otherwise, our life would be wasted. Our life would amount to nothing. Otherwise, church would be nonsensical and it would amount to nothing. It would accomplish nothing. But listen, the church is on that foundation rock that can't be moved. It's solid and steadfast. And not only that, but the church is the only place that God can receive glory from human beings. It's the only place he can receive glory from children of God. It's the only place that he receives glory from mankind. I know the world doesn't like that, but it's true nonetheless. We should thank God for it. We should give thanks for the provisions of life, for the provisions of food. Look at Romans 14, verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth and giveth God thanks. Thankful for the food that we eat. Thankful for the faith that we have. First, I thank my God, Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. We need to thank God for answered prayer. And this is the confidence, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now the emphasis there is according to his will. What does that mean? According to his word. And his word is what reveals his will. Religionists don't want to be involved in the word, because it condemns them. It takes away their preeminence and gives it to the Lord. And if we know, verse 15, that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We should give thanks for heaven, for our treasures that are there. Matthew 6 and verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I thank God that I have something to look forward to eternally. I thank God that hopefully I will have been faithful enough in order to earn a crown that I can lay at the feet of Jesus one of these days and let him know with all of my heart that he's worthy and not I. We need to be thankful for the treasures that are laid up there in heaven for us. We need to be thankful our names are written there. Luke 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We need to be thankful that ours are written there. And by the way, it's written in indelible ink. It cannot be erased. It cannot be taken out. We need to be thankful for our home that's there. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I thank God that I don't have to look forward to dwelling in this old house of clay that I'm in now, but that he has one prepared that will not suffer as this old body suffers. Thank God that he will deliver us fully from sin and from its effects. We need to be thankful that we have that steadfast hope and in order to be able to spend eternity without the miseries that we have to go through here in this life. What a blessing that really is. What a blessing it is. We just take it for granted. Que sera, sera, as the song goes. Brother, you know what it cost God to bring this to us? Yeah. Now, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When it became dark, the earthquake, the rocks rent. Think about it. All of nature was affected. And not in a positive, in a good way. Will you think about how it affected the Father and Holy Spirit and Jesus being separated for the one and only time in eternity? Listen. The suffering in hell is not going to be the fires and flames that are there. That's not the major thing. What the suffering is going to be is being separated from God and all that's good and being in a place and a position where there is no love, there is no companionship, there is no fellowship. And don't tell me I don't mind going to hell because I'm going to have a lot of friends there. The rich man didn't have any friends. He didn't acknowledge anyone there. He was concerned about those that he left behind, but too late. The greatest suffering is going to be being alone without anyone to love us. And listen, our purpose in existing is to love the Lord. We need to learn how to do it here in this life, because if we wait till eternity, at the worst, we'll wind up in hell. But even as a child of God, we'll wind up empty-handed, with nothing to show for it, saved yet so as by fire. And you know what? All the rosy stuff that they make up about heaven in religion today is that when we go to heaven, it's all roses and it's all joy and it's all these things, and we're never going to be conscious of this anymore. Baloney. We're going to be conscious. We're going to be aware. that we're outside that city, walking in the light of the city, can't enter in. And there are those who are in the city, in the very presence of the Lord. And that's going to be eternally. Yeah. That's why it's so important that we lay up our treasures in heaven and not here on the earth. That's why it's so important that we need to be thankful for what God's done. Because if we're not thankful to him for what he's done, that means we don't appreciate it. That means that we don't love him like we should. We talk about falling in love with the Lord, and we talk about children, raising them to love the Lord. We'd better learn how to do that before we train them, or try to. How you doing? I have to ask myself, how am I doing? How are we doing? Sometimes I wonder. And once in a while, I get to thinking, you know what? In this age that we live in, man has it so good and so easy. I don't know that anybody will make the bride in this day and time. Especially when you look and see what it took those brethren and how they were manifesting their love for the Lord, sacrificing themselves, denying themselves, taking up their cross daily and following Jesus. I know that Apostle Paul is going to be in the bride because the Bible says so. I look and see what he had to go through. I see the sacrifice he made. I see how much he loved the Lord. And I have to ask myself, do I love him that much? Do I make that much of a sacrifice? Or would I? I don't know. I don't know whether we'll have a place in the bride or not, brethren. That's for you to determine for yourself by spending time in here and seeing and comparing. Let's stand. What should we sing, brother? Thank you, Lord. If you're here, the Spirit of God convicts your heart, and you know you need to be in the altar. Why don't you come?
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. Have a good and happy Thanksgiving. Brother Trent, voice our prayer if you would.